Well, it's good to be amongst you again. The verse that really caught, sort of I was drawn to, was verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But as is so often, you look at the context, really the whole chapter started to grab me. So the main body of the message is really from verses 5 through to the end of the chapter, possibly a little comment on the first couple of verses of chapter 2. But it's wonderful, John writing to this unknown church. And just the introduction, he's so keen, isn't he, in the first few verses to declare the reality of his faith, of what he's known. And he wants them to know the reality too. And it made me think, just as a passing comment, how encouraging it is when we can share our spiritual experiences with each other. You have to be sensitive. It says that a fool utters all that's on his mind, and some things are so sacred between you and the Lord, but it can be so encouraging to hear testimony and the reality of it. And he speaks about this wonderful fellowship which he has with God the Father, and which he says, I want you to share in this. And he's got this real pastor's heart. He says, I want your joy to be full. And we want that as Christians, don't we? We want that deeper walk with the Lord. We want this joy. We want this rich walk. And so he covers in the rest of the chapter three subjects, really, just to look at briefly, under the headings of Father, fellowship, and forgiveness. And the first point he makes is this, is that he speaks to us about God our Father. And in verse 5, he says that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So he's declaring here God's truthfulness, God's faithfulness, his holiness, his goodness, just his sheer goodness is so great. If we were to be before him, we would just be consumed. His wisdom, his power, his love, then we think of his mercy. It's difficult to encapsulate what John is trying to say, but just the sheer glory and holiness of God, particularly his holiness, and he's inferring that if we have this fellowship for his children, that we're going to bear the marks of that. And he's going to lead on to that in an encouraging way later on in the book. I think if you think of children, if you've got children or nieces and nephews, and you look at their characteristics, don't you, and you say, I remember very disconcertingly a couple of years ago, our youngest John strutted in Tide and Green when we go, and my wife told me that one of the ladies said that, oh, he's just like his father. And I was a bit bemused by that, a bit worried about that. I thought, oh dear, do I strut around? It must be a military thing. So, but there's some better characteristics, aren't there? You see some good characteristics. I do in some of my children. I let my wife take all the glory. And they've got some lovely characteristics. And I think, oh, you're just like your mother there. And this is what John is saying. He's saying, look, if we truly know God, if we've come to faith and repentance in Jesus Christ, it's going to change our nature. And it's impossible to say that we have this fellowship, this special union with him, this communion with him, where God the Holy Spirit is dwelling in us, and we walk in darkness. Now, a word of caution, because if you look through scripture and you look at some godly men, I'll just pick one quite easy one, King David. I mean, he was a murderer, an adulterer. But walk is something you do habitually. So it's a question of struggling with sin rather than snuggling with sin. And I remember I've spoken to people, I remember many, many years ago, 20 years ago, literally, with a man who struggles in different areas of his life. He says, well, God doesn't want me to beat myself up about it. And the best lies have half a truth in there, don't they? And no, he doesn't. But at the same time, he's calling us to a walk of holiness. And this should happen, I say naturally, in a spiritual sense. The reason John is writing this is there was some false teaching going around where people were saying, look, our spirits are saved, our souls are saved, it doesn't matter what our bodies do, you can do what you like. And some terrible errors were creeping in. And who knows, in the times which we live in now, you may see some of that creeping back in. And that's why he's making these points. He's saying, if you read the whole letter, he writes in such a loving way, he's saying, look, in effect, my children, it's impossible. If you're joined to God, he's light and you're his child, you're going to have light in your life. So just some thoughts on our Father. He then speaks about fellowship in verses 3, 6 and 7. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? As Steve said, they're old truths, but I was thinking only recently about truths we've known, simple truths, but they get more profound as you go on. Having communion with God, I don't know how old you were when you were converted, but just, do you remember trying to seek God and not knowing him? And it was like the heavens were brass and you had no communion with him. To be brought, to be adopted into his family, to have God, the Holy Spirit, living inside you, to have the Lord Jesus Christ watching over you, to have God the Father who's elected you from the foundations of the world to be saved, and to know that, and to be able to pray to him, know that he's your Father, he's your God. That's a tremendous thing, isn't it? A tremendous, worth more than anything. And we forget that sometimes. And Steve's absolutely right. I break myself. I think I take these things for granted. But they're not. They're precious, precious jewels, aren't they? And it's wonderful to have fellowship with him, this special communion. But there's a lovely truth he's saying here, that when we walk in the light, so when we live our lives as Christians in a life of holiness, that isn't rigid rules. That is offering ourselves up to God. Say, Lord, I'm sanctified. I'm set apart for you now in life, wherever you place me, whatever you want me to do. I'm set apart for you. I'm dedicated to you. And so there's some things I really want to do for you, some good things. And there's some things by your grace I want to stop doing. You're my Father. And we walk in that light and that holiness. Our fellowship naturally with each other builds, become more aware of each other as Christians. It's a strange thing. You would think if you were more aware of God's holiness and your holiness, that perhaps you'd feel this awful burden and it'd make you go within yourself. But sorry to use myself as an example, but I remember quite a few years ago, Caroline was under pressure with a large family and homeschool and everything. And I thought, well, one thing the army taught me to do, which can help, is ironing. So I said to her, look, for a while, for a few months, I'll do all the ironing for you. So what I did was every day I'd come in from work, and I would iron. Well, to pass the time, I decided to listen to sermons. And so I was to quite enjoy it. I was in a quiet little place in the hallway. The children were kept out of my way. And I'd have my headphones on. And I'd be ironing away. And I'd grind to listen to these sermons. Even so much, I started to iron all the socks and the underwear. Karen said, this is wonderful. But this strange thing happened. A lot of sermons I was listening to by a man called Paul Washer, who was really fighting against nominal Christianity in America. And they're very convicting. And I felt really searched and tried. And I had a strong awareness of the holiness of God. I remember I walked along Tunbridge Wells High Street. I could literally feel the Lord looking down and walking into work. I became very, very sensitive to sin. Things which I used to walk by and not think anything of. Just a Halloween display. I found it really offensive. It's a really, I'd say a strange time. It was a good time. But the biggest thing was this. I found myself, as I was aware of the Lord's holiness, having more of a love for my Christian brothers and sisters and just the world in general. And I remember doing an appointment as an estate agent. And there was a man there that naturally would really rub me up the wrong way. You're pretty low down the food chain as an estate agent. Now he spoke to me. But in this, we have these special seasons, don't we? And in this special time I had, I remember just seeing through his kind of mannerisms and his sort of poor attitude towards me. And I remember at the time thinking, no, I don't feel like this normally. I just felt really sorry for him. I just felt this love. There's a man, he's just wrapped up in his sin, and God's been so kind to you, James. And I almost wanted to give him a hug. I didn't. And I remember thinking, this isn't like me. What's happening? Well, this is what's happening. I was walking in the light more, you see. And the Lord Jesus Christ says this in John 14, verse 21. He who has my commands and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Now, of course, there's that saving manifestation, isn't there? But there is a reward in following the Lord's commandments, and I found that when we seek after holiness, and the devil will try and push us into legalism, but just in a faithful way, say, Lord, I love you. I know my sins are forgiven. I just want to live my life for you. I'll repent. I'm continually repenting. I want to turn away from these things. We have this deeper fellowship with each other. People can sometimes come up with all sorts of amazing things, how we can have deeper fellowship with each other and go to whatever, bowling or walks, all these things are all fine. But just a simple thing, to be walking, each one of us, in fellowship with the Lord Jesus, in sincerity and in truth, And you will find yourself spiritually have more of a love for each other. Now, coming on to forgiveness, a strange thing happens. Well, not a strange thing, but the more you walk with the Lord and the more you're seeking to please him and the more he's changing you, the best way to, I think, to describe it is you walk in the light shines up your sin more, your stains more. I think Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones speaks of it like this. Imagine a man is on a journey and he's journeying towards a lamppost and he starts off and it's a bit dusty, he's out, he's sort of on the edge of the light, and as he gets nearer and nearer, he's looking down and says, oh, there's that mark there, there's that dirt there, there's this, there's that. Or I think it was Matthew Henry says, you know, if a lady had a dress and it was pretty dirty, another spot wouldn't make much difference. But, you know, if the dress was clean, then one spot makes a difference. Now, of course, we're only clean through Christ. But what I mean by this is when you're walking closely with the Lord because you're one of his children and you're more aware of his presence in your life, some sins which perhaps you've committed quite easily and thought they were just nothing, that becomes a big thing, doesn't it? You think, oh no, I've done that. Oh, that's terrible. And of course we have the accuser of the brethren. You think, oh dear, it's not that we've got faith in ourselves, we're not relying on works, it's just, if you walk with the Lord, you know the truth of this, it'll upset you. Conversely, the opposite is sadly true, isn't it? The more we drift away from God as true believers, the harder we get and the easier we find it to sin. And that's why he says these lovely words that, you know, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's why there's these warnings throughout here saying, you know, if you say you haven't sinned, well, you call God a liar because he says everyone's sinned. He says his truth isn't even in you. So it's this conundrum, isn't it? We walk more with the Lord, we're aware of his holiness, he's working in us, he's making us more like him. We won't particularly be thinking, oh, I'm such a good Christian now. We'd just be walking more in the light and perhaps feeling more love towards people and more love for his word and more love for, you know, hearing him sermons, being fed by him and serving him. But then when we have these days, these times where we've done wrong things, it smites us. And he says, listen, my little children, you know, if anyone sins in chapter 2, now we have an advocate, that's like a legal defence, someone that drew close to you. What a thought, isn't it? Perhaps you're here today and you've sinned, you know you've sinned. We've all sinned in one sense, but you're really conscious of it. And the devil's accusing you. He does it, doesn't he? 1 minute I heard a pastor say this, he said, 1 minute he's saying to you, God, do that, do that, do that. Then you do it, he says, look what you've done, look what you've done. I'll never forget that. It's a very vivid illustration. And perhaps you're like that tonight, but you're a true believer. And the Lord says to you, you have an advocate. Christ is there. And as Satan is saying, look what your supposed child has done. And Christ is saying, yes, but I've taken the punishment. It's wonderful, isn't it? So just some simple thoughts, really. And the more we can understand these and put these simple truths into action in our lives, we'll have that deeper sense of fellowship with each other and with the Lord and know more of his forgiveness. Well, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that you are light and you have shone the light into our hearts and you have forgiven us our sins and help us, Lord, to walk in the light. Thank you that you do that. Forgive us when we stray. Thank you for this reassurance, Lord, that we have fellowship with you. We have fellowship with each other as being adopted brothers and sisters in Christ. And oh Lord, forgive us. We hate to even say it, that we can take it for granted, but you will forgive us. Thank you, Father. So please forgive our fickle hearts, our foolish hearts, our cold hearts. Please help us to walk more faithfully with you. Lord, do bless this church here. Bless these people here tonight. All the members of the church, we think of your faithful under shepherd here. Do bless him and his dear wife. Strengthen him just for this little time they've had to rest after such a busy Easter weekend. And do guide your church here, Lord, and provide for them. And be with us now, Father, as we continue in prayer before you. Please forgive, Lord, all that your pure eyes have seen amiss. For Jesus' sake. Amen.